Welcome to Higher Ground Ministries, where we believe God's Word still speaks today. Our mission is to teach the truth of God's Word from generation to generation, building up believers and reaching hearts with the hope of Christ. Each week, we share messages from our church services, praying they strengthen your faith and encourage your heart. Join us in person or online Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. For more information, visit hgministries.org.
Who have served. You understand things that we'll never understand.
That's right.
Thank you for your service. And thank you for standing those who have also served. Yes. Amen. And thank God, Jesus got you.
Yes.
And he,
yes.
Jesus has you. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right. Do you want to say anything?
Amen. Of course I do. It's me. Hallelujah. How many of you ladies were here last night with us? Yeah. How many of you had trouble going to sleep last night? I was like, I am so just, I won't say what I said last night. All right, I'll say it. Well, Taylor got a little nervous because I said, oh, I'm so drunk. And she went, like, what am I at? And I said, in the Holy Ghost. Don't get scared. You like how I said that?
Again,
scared.
These are some of the things that, you know, we used to talk about back in the day and experience back
Holy
in
Ghost.
The day. It's coming back.
Oh, it's awesome.
But not goofy.
Amen. Amen. So thank you to all the ladies. We said it last night, but I believe all the church needs to know when we do a service like we did last night, just so you know, we don't just do donuts and coffee like you guys do at the men's meetings. We give away purses. We have good food.
All right, guys, do you want a purse?
No, but Justin said at the men's meeting you should give away, like, rifles and brass knuckles.
We do got to hand this over
Anyways,
to Chuck.
Anyways, we had so much fun last night, and I want to say thank you to every person involved in setting up for that service last night. It's not just boom, 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 here we come, you know, and it takes days, months to plan ahead, and we want it that way because we want it to be the best for our Lord, amen? But man, Pastor Tammy had a word, and we were all so blessed, and she was able to minister to so many, and so thank you for everybody who came, and were part, all of you that were part of it. It was phenomenal. I didn't hear about any issues. Now, if there were any, I don't want to hear them. Just kidding. But I am so, so grateful and very proud of our team. So everybody give them a good round of applause. They deserve it. Amen. And I did tell the story last night, so if you were here last night, you get to hear it again. But before we bring Pastor Chuck and Tammy up here to minister today, I want to give you a little background. I think it's like within the last 10 years, because time's flying. But we were down in Gatlinburg, Tennessee at a pastor's meeting with Dr. Barclay, and they were there, and we knew of them, and we were always friendly, and we saw them at different, you know, conferences and things like that. And well, I got on the elevator with Pastor, and we were going up to our hotel room, and this other minister got on the elevator. He's a missionary, and I knew his face, but I didn't know him. And when he got on the elevator, he said hi, and we said hi, and he goes, oh, you're the Eveline's daughter. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm not their daughter, but, I mean, I know their daughters. And I said, like, I'm really good friends with Heather, so if any of you have ever been to Invasion and you've heard Heather preach, that's their daughter. And I said, no, I'm not their, and he goes, yeah, okay. And I'm like, no, I'm serious. I'm not their daughter. And he's like, he would not believe me. So, I mean, you know me, I'm sarcastic, joking all the time. So I didn't know him. So I'm like, is he being funny? But he was serious. And he got off the elevator and he was just like looking at me like, good one. And we get off the elevator to go down to the lobby and we're walking out and there they are standing in the lobby. And I walked over, I'm like, so apparently I'm your daughter. And we laughed about it, but something happened right there. Yeah. And a relationship formed, and it was a God relationship. And so they pretty much adopted us, and they treat our kids like their grandkids. And, I mean, it's just awesome. As you heard, Carly calls Miss Tammy, Carly calls her Grammy Tammy because it just sounds cool. And so they got Papa and Grammy Tammy, and we've just been having a blast getting to know them, getting closer with them. And that's why pastor's like, we got to get them in to minister to our church because it will bless your lives. Amen. So I'm their daughter. And then Pastor Chuck said to you, well, if she's my daughter, then you're my son. So, and that did something to his heart. So it was really good. Yep. But God is so good. Amen.
So praise God. And there is a little bit more to that story, but we need to get them up here.
Yes.
So would you stand with me, please, and help me welcome Pastor Chuck and Miss Tammy Eveline. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a good shout of praise. Hallelujah. Happy Pentecost Sunday. Yay. Wow, you can be seated.
That means we're going to have fun, right?
Well, we're always going to have fun, but we need to apologize.
Why? What did we do?
Well, we broke the rules, obviously.
We did break the rules.
We brought our offering, and we didn't go in a circle. We just walked back.
So I'm going to blame our daughter because she didn't tell me.
Oh. Yeah, there you go. So anyway, no. We're so happy to be here. God bless you all. Amen. Of course, my wife, Tammy, you ladies met her last night, but you just go ahead and greet
I'm
the folks.
I'm more of the southern part of the family. I do have more of an accent than my husband does, but you know God loves me the same as he loves you. I kind of lost my voice last night, but God is so good, and we're so happy to be here. And I know I shared somewhat, we have two daughters of our own. We now have three, but we have two of our own that I actually birthed, and they gave us 10 grandchildren, and actually we have a great-grandchild now. So we're very blessed. And she shared that we do missions. So just to share with you, we have been to Jamaica is one of our main places that we go every year. So I usually go twice a year to Jamaica. We go to the country of Panama. We have been to Honduras. We go to Peru. And he goes to Uganda. I have been once to Uganda. So we do travel somewhat.
Philippines.
Huh?
You've been to the Philippines.
Oh, and to the Philippines. Yeah, I forgot that. He hasn't been to the Philippines, but I have. What a blessing. I know Reverend Ray goes there a lot. And what a blessing it is to travel the world and just share Jesus with people. Everybody needs Jesus, whether they know it or not.
Right.
You know, you may be sitting here this morning. Maybe somebody drug you here. Physically drug you, said you need to come to church. You're here for a reason.
Amen.
So don't be offended already. Just open up and let God just do something in your heart today.
Right.
Because he has a plan and a purpose for your life. He does have something he wants you to do. It's up to us to be obedient to the call he's put on our life and to do what he asks us to do.
Amen.
Amen? So I don't want to take my husband's time because he is a wonderful preacher.
Hallelujah.
I mean, I get so much out of his sermons. And then our oldest daughter, Heather, is just like him. She preaches a word that is strong and true. And our youngest daughter, Lindsay, is a singer.
Yep.
She does all of our praise and worship. And, you know, we're thankful because they've been with us all the years of our ministry.
Right.
They started out, Lindsay wasn't there when we started, but Heather was.
Yep.
Lindsay came along a couple years later. So we are a ministry family. Our whole family serves Jesus.
Amen.
And that is a testament to Jesus.
Yes,
that even Hagen, our grandchild, is now preaching the gospel.
Yes.
So it just keeps going and going. And so I'm thankful. You know, when we retire or when he slows down, we have our daughter and we have our grandson that can pick up the mantle and keep running with it. I know he's not going to quit, but there will be a day when if he's 100 years old, he's going to have to slow down maybe. When you're
100, a little bit.
Maybe.
A little bit.
So I love you. So good last night, ladies. Glad we're all here this morning.
Man, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We, again, we're so honored to be here. We love your pastors, again, like our own kids and their kids, and it's just such a blessing to be here. This is not my first time here. Anybody remember that? I was here about 11 years ago with Pastor Barclay. I was traveling with him. The platform was over there, and I sat back there, And you all have done so much. The building is so nice. And it was nice then, but you've really stepped it up a notch. Amen. And it's just beautiful. Something Tammy didn't mention, this coming August, we'll be married 46 years. Amen. Yeah. And just last week, our ministry celebrated 44 years. And so we're just getting started. Amen. And we were both 10 when we started. Yeah, I wish. But God has just been so good to us. You know, have you ever wanted to quit? Anybody just wanted to quit? Well, if you have, you're lying if you haven't. You're saying, oh, no, Pastor, never wanted to quit. The first few years of this ministry, I wanted to quit all the time, but I never did. And I always say, when I wanted to quit, she didn't. And when she wanted to quit, I didn't. We never wanted to quit at the same time. And so we didn't. We just kept going. And because of that, God has blessed us tremendously. And we are, again, we're just so honored to be here today. And we love this church. We love your pastors. We have a table back here. We have a couple of ladies with us from our church. Carmen, her daughter, Abby. Amen. Again, last night you ladies found out about a month ago, Tammy got a detached retina. And because of that, she's unable to fly. And you know, it's a pretty good little ways from our house here. And she can't fly. We don't know when she's going to be able to fly. And soon, amen. Carmen stepped up and said, we will drive her there. I flew. Praise the Lord. But they drove her here, and they're going to drive her home. Amen. And so we appreciate them for doing that. Amen. Yeah, took time out of their life to help the ministry. But back here we have a table, and they'll be back there to help you. A lot of things back there. But I always like to give some things away. Is that all right if we give some things away? Yeah, I'm going to walk down here a second. Praise God. This is on USB. Do we have CDs on this too? All right, so we've got CDs or USB. The Lord had told me that this year was the year of the fix. I know a lot of pastors have got similar things like that. I think Pastor Barclay's is the year for things to be fixed. But what I got was the year of the fix. And whatever needs to be fixed, God's able to fix that. Amen. I had the Lord tell me, Jesus is a master mechanic. You know, he can fix it. I know your pastor is a master mechanic. But Jesus is even better than him. Amen. Praise God. So anyway, one of the sermons, messages I've done this year is called Fix Your Finances. And so anybody here need their finances fixed? Right there on the end. Come. Yeah, you right there in the pink. Yes. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Praise God. Now this one, I have to be honest, I stole the title. I heard Brother Ray Bench preached a message called Crazy Raw Faith. And I called him. I said, Brother Ray, I'm going to steal that title. And he goes, that's okay. So I sent him the message. You go, you preached it better than me anyway. I didn't preach his message. My message was different. I just stole the title. So anyway, Crazy Raw Faith. What is Crazy Raw Faith? When everybody else is telling you to quit, everybody else is saying this is not going to work, everybody else. You know, I had two different associate pastors 10 years apart. They never met each other, but the same demon talked through both of them as they were walking out the door. The first one, 1987, this is not, this ministry is not of God. God didn't call you to do this. We need to close her down. I said, well, I don't believe that, and so we're going to keep going. 10 years later, almost to the day, the associate pastor I had, as he's walking out the door saying, this ministry is not of God. God didn't call you. You need to shut it down. Same, they never met each other. Same demon. Amen. Crazy raw faith just says, nope, not going to quit. And we're just going to keep going. Amen. So anybody here would like crazy raw faith? All right. No quit in you. Amen. Praise God. Then I have a couple of books that I've written. Haven't written one in a long time. I need to probably work on that. The first one I wrote back in, I think, 2003. It's called Charge the Challenge in Faith. We were dealing at the time, we had a building that we had been in like 15 years. It was an old Methodist church building. And the city decided, like we sat right on the road. We were like, our front door was 12 feet from the road. And the city decided they were going to redo that road. Well, they were going to run right through our sanctuary. And that's all of the land they were going to take, the land that the building sat on. But they didn't want to give us any much money for it. We still owed money on the building. And they were going to give us money, but it was like, well, we can't build anything for that. We can't really buy anything for that. So how many know we had a challenge? What are we going to do? So anyway, long story short, the Lord gave me this message, Charge the Challenge in Faith. And it has the testimony of the building in there and how God worked all that out. And he did work it out. But we just had faith and we just had God. And, you know, just because it's about a building, whatever you're dealing with, you charge it in faith and God will get you through it. Amen. And he'll provide for you. And again, he did. He provided a building that it was a church building and a former Lutheran church building that our Fraternal Order of Police had bought years before. They were going to build a new building. They called us up and said, would you like this building? We said, well, I think we would. How much do you want? Well, whatever it appraises for, you can have it for that. We'll carry it on a contract. And then the guy was being used by God. He goes, we'll carry it on a contract for you. Great, awesome. And then he goes, an interest-free contract. And his eyes got about that big when he said it. Like, did I really just say that? Yes, you really just did. And I heard you say it. Amen. And they did. They carried it on a contract. We made one payment a year. Now, it was a big payment, but we made one payment a year. God provided for that. And then Pastor Barkley was with us and said, y'all need a bigger building than this. And so the Lord led us to the building we're in now 6 years ago, and we paid cash for that building, no debt whatsoever. So God took us from this to a debt-free building, completely remodeled, and extra money in the bank. So anyway, it works. And not only that, the land that this building sat on, we still had about 3 acres left of that, which we tried to sell for like over 20 years, and last summer we sold the rest of that. So praise God. So book completed, I guess you could say. Anybody got a challenge you need to charge? Over here, the lady over here with her hand up. I'll bring it to you. Praise God. God bless you, ma'am. Amen. And then this one, I know a lot of you got this a few years ago. It's called Rapture Watch. Talks about the signs of the times. I know your pastor's been teaching on the book of Revelation, but really, I think it's a pretty good book, and it's really, look, see, I like big words. They're not little bitty print. It's easy to read. And so anyway, can I give Rapture Watch to somebody? Back there in the lady in the blue. Yeah, come on. Yeah, you're like waving in a plane. Come on in. Yeah, amen. Amen. God bless you. Yes, amen. All right. Praise God. Now, there are there's other things. Those things are back there and other things. And please go back and help don't help yourself. They'll be there to help you. And but also back there, we have some of these cards. Our annual conference is coming up, starts 3 weeks from today. It's called Encounter. And this is our 14th year to do this. Some of our speakers are Dr. Barclay, Brother Ray Bench, Pastor Ken Harbaum from Ohio, Pastor Mark Pearl from Evansville, Indiana, and then Pastor Kenny Gatlin will be one of our speakers as well. Now, he's not on this because one of the pastors that was going to be with us could not come, and so Pastor Kenny is filling in for him. So this starts June 14th, runs through the 19th, but the 19th is Youth and Young Adult Night, and our daughter Heather will be preaching that night, and it's just a powerful time. They give away lots of prizes, and they may give away a purse, I don't know, but they, you know, a lot of stuff. And no, I actually heard them say this year they're only going to give away cash, which I think everybody likes that, right? So anyway, I know it's a long way, and most of you are probably not going to come all the way for that conference. But if you could pick these up and just pray over it, and we would greatly appreciate that. And again, they've been awesome every year, and we believe they'll be awesome again this year. Amen? All right. Enough of that. You have your Bibles?
Yes.
Let me see what time it is so I don't keep you past 2 or 3. Amen? All right. See, that depends on how well you amen. If you don't amen very much, my thinking is you're not getting it, and I need to preach more and longer. You really shout me down, we may be out of here in 15, 20 minutes. That's doubtful. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you have your Bibles, please. Praise God. Your watch. I don't know how many years ago it's been. We were in Jamaica on a mission trip. We've been going to Jamaica, as Tammy said, a lot, but since 1994, so like 32 years, we've been going to Jamaica. We've been there, I think, 35, 36 times. So it's kind of like a second home to us. Jamaica is great to go in January. It's terrible to go in August, and because it's just so hot. January is very nice. And last year when we went in January at home, they got like inches of ice and all of that, and we were sitting in shorts and t-shirt on the porch. So anyway, you got to hear from God, know when to go to Jamaica. But anyway, we were in Jamaica. It was a Tuesday. I never will forget it. Tuesday afternoon, getting ready to do a service that night. I'm just kind of sitting around praying, looking at notes and whatever. And the Lord says, tonight I want you to teach on the rapture. Well, I taught on the rapture. I'd written the book a few years before that. And he goes, tonight I want you to teach on the rapture. Now, we were going to a church. It was a new church. We had never been there. It was a new church. They were just getting started. And it was a Tuesday night. And I'm thinking, you know, probably most people there are going to be Christian and they're going to be ready for the rapture. Anyway, he told me what to preach. I preached it. I think there was only like 12, 15 people in the building. And it's like more than half of them lifted their hand and said, I'm not ready for the rapture. And they got ready for the rapture. And one young lady got born again that night. And it was so powerful. And as that's going on, the Lord said, everywhere you go, the first time you go, you preach on the rapture. Because there are people that don't know about it. Now, I know you all are very well taught here. Amen. See, that was your opportunity to really shout for your pastor. I say that everywhere I go, and unfortunately, many times that's the response I get, and it's like, you missed it, folks. So, let's try it again. I know you all are very well taught here. Amen. And so, you know, I may not say anything to you that you haven't heard before, and that's okay. The Apostle Paul wrote the Philippians and said, it's not grievous for me to write to you again what I've already written to you. Why? Because, you know, sometimes it takes us many times to get it. Not only that, many times he can say something, a guest can come in and say the same thing, and because it's a different voice, it's like your ears pick up and hear it. So, again, I'm not trying to teach you something that he hadn't already taught you, but I'm just being obedient to God. It's my first time preaching here, and so I've got to preach on the rapture. Amen. Is that okay? Amen. Now, don't raise your hand because I don't want to embarrass anybody. But, you know, asking that question, are you ready for the rapture? You know, just think about that for a minute. Am I ready for the rapture? Because the Bible really lets us know, you know, Jesus gave that parable about the 10 virgins, right? 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And I'm not going to really get into that today, but just to touch on it here for a minute, you know, the fact that they were all virgins, what that says to me is they all were born again. They all were pure, right? Amen. But it says, you know, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. Well, what's that mean? Jesus told us what that means. If you're wise, you've heard the word of God and you live by it. You do it. Foolish, you hear the word of God and you don't live by it. So you've got 10 Christians, all 10 of them probably in the same church, hearing the same preacher, but 5 of them are doing what they hear and 5 of them are not doing what they hear. Amen. 5 of them, again, later on in verse 10 of that same chapter, when the bridegroom came, it says, they that were ready went in, and the rest got left out. So, you know, I'm not trying to make a doctrine here, but just something to think about. My thinking is, you can be born again and still miss the rapture. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to miss heaven. You can still go to heaven. But the rapture is a blessing from the Lord. Just like healing is a blessing from the Lord. There's a lot of Christians don't get healed. They should. A lot of Christians never get blessed financially, but they should because they don't believe that that's supposed to happen. So anyway, that's not really what I want to talk about today, but let's touch on a few things and we'll just see where the Lord takes us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I'll just start in verse 16. Paul says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead shall in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, scare one another with these words. Oh, it doesn't say that, does it? Then how come so many people get scared when they hear that? You know, again, I remember I grew up in a Baptist church. Nothing. Thank God for the Baptist. Say thank God for the Baptist. How many of you raised up in a Baptist church? Anybody here raised up in a Baptist church? Okay, a handful of you. Amen. I think it was Jimmy Swaggart said one time, there's more Baptists than there are people. And most people, you know, sometime they got touched by a Baptist church. Thank God for the Baptist church. That's where I got born again. That's where I learned about the Bible stories and all of that. But just because you're a Baptist, again, doesn't mean you're going to go in the rapture. Amen. But I learned, again, as a child growing up, you know, in the Baptist church, we would have usually a revival once or twice a year, what they called a revival. It was really just a week of meetings. There wasn't a whole lot of reviving going on. But, you know, they would have a week of meetings. And one night, the evangelist would always preach on the end of the world. Right? And I would leave that service petrified. But it doesn't say the coming of Jesus is supposed to scare us. It says it's supposed to comfort us. Amen. It's supposed to give us peace. Amen. I mean, you think about somebody you really, really, really love, a human being, and you hear they're coming, you don't know when they're coming, that's not going to scare you. That's not going to offend you. That's not going to make you upset. You're going to be excited about that. Amen. And so, especially if you haven't seen them, maybe like we were talking about the military, maybe they've been in harm's way and you know they're coming home. You're going to be comforted by that. Wow, they're on their way. Amen. Praise God. So again, here the Bible tells us that the Lord himself, he's not going to send an angel. He's going to come himself. He's going to come in the clouds, not going to set foot on earth at this point. Come in the clouds. Again, the angel's going to shout. The trumpet's going to blow. And we that are alive and remain, amen? We that are alive and remain what? Remain in Jesus. So that's what I was talking about earlier. Just because you got born again, are you still in Jesus? Amen. Now again, you know, there's some teaching in the world that says once saved, always saved. But I can give you scripture after scripture that says that's not true. I can give you scripture after scripture that talk about, you know, a man named Demas. A man named Demas who Paul at one point said, he's a great help to me. Oh, he's great. You know, he helps me and he's a great minister of God. And then another place he says, Demas has left me for this present world. Well, if he left Paul, he probably left God. Well, he did because Paul said he left for the world. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So we've got to remain in Christ. Well, how do we do that? Well, we stay in a church like this. Well, the Word's preached. We stay in the Word. We stay in prayer. We stay walking by faith and not by sight. Can somebody say amen? Praise God. So, again, those that have died in Christ, they're going to raise up out of the grave. And those of us that are alive and remain, which I tend to believe that could happen any minute. No, the world is just setting up. It's setting up for this to happen. The things that are happening now. Remember, Jesus told, I think it's in the Gospel of Luke, he said, when you see these things begin to happen, lift up your eyes, right? Well, we're way past beginning happening. We're way past the beginning of it happening. Amen. And so again, we want to make sure we remain in Christ. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you remain in Christ. Hallelujah. Now, one other thing I want to touch on before I really get into what I want to talk about today. Is, and I've talked to your pastor about this, and just to be clear, I am a pre-tribulation rapture person. I believe the rapture is going to happen before the tribulation period. And I'm going to give you maybe two or three scriptures, and we may not turn to all of them, and we're not going to turn to some of them, but just write these down, look them up later for yourself, and again, I'm sure you've heard all of these before. But in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, well, at least seven times. He probably says the word more than that. But Jesus says to the church in Ephesus, to the church in Smyrna and Sardis and Thyatira and Pergamos and Philadelphia and Laodicea, to the church, 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 yeah. Right? Amen. And then, I tell you what, hold something there, or you can let 1 Thessalonians go. Go over to the book of Revelation and look at chapter 4, verse 1. So remember, chapters 2 and 3, Jesus has said, the church, the church, the church, the church, the church, right? We get to chapter 4, verse 1. And John says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. We just read in 1 Thessalonians about the archangel shout, and the trumpet's going to blow. So this is like a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, come up here. And I will show you things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven. So could we say, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I was in the presence of God after I heard the words, come up here. Now, here's what you got to know, and I think all of you know this. From this verse on, you never see the word church again. Why is that? Church is gone. It's called the rapture. Verse 1 of chapter 4 shows the rapture of the church. Amen. Now, go on over to chapter 6. I believe chapter 6 is where we see the beginning of the tribulation period. And you get down to the last verse of chapter 6. Verse 17 says, for the great day of his wrath, God's wrath, is come, and who shall be able to stand it? Now, the great day of God's wrath, all right, go back to 1 Thessalonians. Sorry, you should have held on to that. My bad, made a mistake. Write that down, made a mistake. But go to chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians 5. So again, the tribulation period, I believe, starts in Revelation chapter 6. And in Revelation chapter 6, it says, this is the day of God's great wrath being poured out on the earth, right? Right? We just read it. Yep. All right, 1 Thessalonians 5, just forget where it says there, chapter 5, because we're just continuing on talking about the rapture. We've talked about the rapture at the end of chapter 4. We're still talking about rapture and last days. Amen? But the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. All right, let's stop right there. As Christians, as believers, spirit-filled believers, the day of the rapture should not overtake us as a thief in the night. Like, oh, we're surprised. Oh, I can't believe that happened. No, we ought to know something's about to happen. See, what comes to me is I think back to the 2 Kings chapter 2, where Elijah and Elisha are walking, and Elijah says to Elisha, God has sent me, I never remember the order of what it is, they end up at Jordan, but God has sent me to the next place, you stay here, and Elisha says, no, I'm going with you. And on their way, the sons of the prophets, which really aren't godly at all, they make this announcement to Elisha, don't you know that God is going to take your father away from you today? Here's people that don't even really know God, but yet they know Elijah's getting ready to be taken up, to be raptured. And that happened 3 different times, right? This is my thought. If non-born again, ungodly people know when a rapture's about to happen, we ought to know when a rapture's about to happen. Do we know the day or the hour? No. No. Because if we did, then everybody just lived like a goofball until they go, well, it's going to happen at noon tomorrow. Be a goofball till 11:59, and then let's get right with God. No, see, that's one of the reasons God does it that way, I believe. But yet we know in here something's different. And then you'll talk to people, oh, I've been hearing about that rapture for all my life. Yeah, but you haven't been seeing things going on the way it's going on now. Amen? Praise God. Anyway, so the day shouldn't come upon us as a thief. We ought to know something's coming. Verse 5, why? Because you are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. Verse 9, for God has not, say not. God has not appointed us to wrath. Yet the tribulation is God pouring out his wrath, but we're not appointed to wrath. So guess what? We ain't going to be here. Pardon the ain't. Amen? The rapture is going to happen before the tribulation period begins. Praise God. Hallelujah. So what's that mean? We need to get ready. We need to stay ready. Amen? So let's turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Most pastors, this is their favorite scripture in the Bible. But let's start in verse 23. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. God is faithful. God is going to do what he said he would do. Therefore, we need to hold on to our profession of faith without wavering. You know, like I said earlier, how have we made 44 years in ministry? The first year or so, we started our ministry, say the first couple of years, just in our town alone, there was like 10 other churches started. Holy Ghost, Word of Faith type churches were the only one left. Now, does that mean we were better than them? No. Does that mean we were called more than them? No. Now, some of them weren't called. Some of them just, it was a thing to do at that time, start a church. Early 80s, that's what people were doing. They were starting churches, right? But a lot of them, they're not around just because they quit. They stopped. To me, this is what this verse is saying. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. We don't quit. As Paul wrote the Galatians, don't get weary in well-doing. Because you will, right? You know, it talks about Jesus enduring the cross. It doesn't say he enjoyed the cross. He endured the cross. There's some things you just put up with. As a pastor, unfortunately, there's some people you just put up with. You have to endure them. You don't enjoy them. See, I don't know any of you, so I can just preach freely and not have to worry about it. Right? But I got news for you. I say the same thing at my church too. Amen. Praise God. What I like to say, that, you know, hold tight. It says hold fast. Hold tight. Get a firm grip on our profession of faith. Meaning what? There's no falling away. There's no giving up. Again, someone asked Dr. Lester Sumrall. He had at that time been preaching like 60 years. And somebody walked up to him and said, Brother Sumrall, how did you make 60 years? You know, and they're ready for this big, long, well, we did this and we did that. And if you ever heard Brother Sumrall, he was not sweetie and nicey. And, you know, he just kind of stepped into the guy and went, I didn't quit. Yeah, that's how we need to be. How did you make it to where you are today? Well, you didn't quit. And say, I'm not going to. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. One translation reads this way. Let's think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. You know what the Lord ministered to me about that? As I, you know, this has been over a year ago. He gave me this message, probably longer than that. He says, in order to motivate somebody to love and good works, you have to be around them. See, that's one purpose for coming to church. To be around other believers. To do like Pastor did for this brother this morning. See, what if he hadn't have been here this morning? Amen? Isn't it amazing, the man with the withered hand in the Bible, Jesus did that inside the synagogue. What if that man stayed home that day? The woman that was bowed over for 18 years, Jesus healed her in the synagogue. What if she stayed home that day? Amen. The devil will give you a million excuses why not to be here. Amen. But in this day and time, we need to be here every time the doors are open. Why? Because you never know when somebody's going to walk up to you and wrap their arm around you and say, you're going to make it. We're not going to let you not make it. We're going to pray for you. We're going to help you. We're going to bless you. We're going to strengthen you. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. But like I said, in order for that to happen, you have to be here. You have to be around the people. Amen? Now, verse 25, my favorite verse, one of my favorite verses. Can't say my favorite, but it's one of my favorite. King James says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Again, another translation says this, do not neglect our meeting together as some people do. Any of you know people that neglect meeting together? See, look, I understand. Sometimes people work at church time. I understand that. Sometimes, you know, somebody gets sick or something. I kind of understand that, but our church, and I know your church, believes in healing. So sickness shouldn't be, you know, if everybody that was sick stayed home, Jesus would have never worked a miracle. I never see Jesus walking down streets, knocking on doors, going, anybody in here need a miracle? No, they came out in the streets to him. Right? A couple of times he went to a house, but why? Someone asked him to come. Amen. So I understand there are things that come up, you know, even a vacation. God's not saying if you miss one service, you're going to hell. It's not what he's talking about. It's not about so we can say how many people were in church. Amen? But again, look what it says there. So much the more. Like I said, Jesus just wasn't into you getting your Sunday school pins. If you was raised in a Baptist church, some of you were, you understand Sunday school pins. You know, we had one girl in the church I was raised in, a little older than me. She had Sunday school pins. They started here and went all the way to her knee. What are you talking about? Well, if you're there for a certain length of time, you get a pin. The first one's like 3 months, the second one's like 6 months, then it's a year, and then it's for 2 years, 3 years. So she had that. She couldn't have quoted a verse if her life depended on it, but she had her Sunday school pins all the way down to her knees. See, it's not about I showed up, mark my attendance. No. Jesus knew what the last days were going to be like. And he knew we needed to take time out of this messed up world and come into the house of God, and we need to do it more and more because we're getting more and more of the junk out there. And we need to come in here more and more to get washed up. See, this is where we get washed by the water of the Word. And conditions determine how often we need to be washed. Huh? For the most part, I take one shower a day. I at least take one shower a day.
Amen.
Okay, so that's not like there's days I skip. No, every day I take at least one shower. Why? Because I need one, at least one, right? But let's say, and I know people do it different, I usually do mine at night before I go to bed. I like to be clean when I go to bed. All right? So, but there's some days I haven't done it for a while, I need to get back. I'll get up early in the morning and go to a gym and walk on a treadmill for 30 minutes or something. Well, I sweat very heavily. Well, I can't go to work like that. So guess what? Conditions have said I need to go home and take a shower. Now, wait a minute. I just had one about 8 hours ago. It doesn't matter. I need another one because now I'm sweating. Right? So then I take a shower, go to church, do what I'm supposed to do. And say I come home in the afternoon, and I decide I'm going to do some work in the yard. Now I'm sweaty and dirty again. Well, I don't want to go eat dinner sweaty and dirty. So guess what I do at 3 o'clock in the afternoon? Conditions say I have to have a shower. But then guess what I do before I go to bed? I take a shower. Are you a neat freak? Oh, no, not at all. Amen? But you see, there are times the conditions say you're dirty. You need a shower. Amen? And so guess what? I take a shower. Every time we come into this house, you're getting a spiritual shower.
Yes.
And the dirt that's in that world You need more of this. Amen. And you know something else I found out about, like, showers and baths? Immature people hate them. What do you mean by that? You try to give a 2-year-old a bath. You'll run the water, it's running, you're throwing all the toys in the tub to try to get them in there, right? Yeah, I know your pastor doesn't do this, but a lot of pastors are always trying to throw toys in the tub to get people to come in here. We don't need toys in the tub, we just need the Word of God. Amen. If you're as old as me, a bath, son. Right? How many remember those days? How many remember the days when you were the one running through the house naked because you didn't want a bath? Right? But how many remember also when you got to the age you look forward to that shower and that bath because you didn't want to be dirty? You know the difference between the two? Immature, mature. And if we grow up in the things of God, we're not looking for ways to miss the shower. We're looking for ways to get to the shower. In other words, instead of giving the church excuses why we got to go somewhere else, we're giving other thing excuses why we got to be in church. Amen? Praise God. Yeah, give the Lord a good hand clap. Hallelujah. Now again, the newer translation, the last part of it says, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. But the King James says, you see the day approaching. You see the day approaching, right? The day, of course, means the rapture. We see that day approaching, right? So just a couple examples here. If you're in school, some of you I guess still are, but you know, you remember when you were in school? I have to use my long-term memory to do that. We were usually told when we're going to have a test, right? And they would say, you know, this material, these chapters, the test will be on this. Maybe at first they didn't tell you when it was going to be. There's just a test coming, right? The day of the test wasn't there yet, but as it got closer, the teacher said things that let you know it was approaching. Are you with me? Okay, let's say you're going on a trip, on a vacation. I know where you're going. You're coming to Indiana for Encounter 2026. And you're so excited to go, right? Okay. But let's say, well, this wouldn't count. Let's say, okay, you're going on a trip in a couple of months. Okay? As it gets closer, there's things you do in order to be ready for the day. Right? We've been blessed that in August we're going to go on an Alaska cruise. Woo, looking forward to that. Amen. Somebody blessed us with that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, there's things we're not doing yet that we'll do as we get closer to that, because there is a day, the day, that we're going to leave home to go on for that cruise. Right? And so there's things like with the travel agent and packing. You know, there's just things you do. Stop the mail. You know, there's things you do. And these are signs, when I do these things, that day is coming on us. Right? All right. Now, let's say you're driving in a car. Do y'all know what Buc-ee's is? Do you have them up here? No, have them yet. But you know, you've heard of them. They're like, what's a gas station you all have? No. I'm just talking about one you have. Like in our area, we have Love's, we have Flying J, we have different ones. You know, like what? Cumberland Farms. Okay. Well, Cumberland Farm, Buc-ee's is Cumberland Farms on steroids. Buc-ee's is, they have 120 gas pumps. Yeah, I mean, it's this thing, the building is like the size of a super Walmart. But yet it's a rest stop along the highway. Best bathrooms around. Seriously, they have people that actually, their job is to work in the bathrooms to keep them clean. And they, yeah, each, well, I haven't been in the women's, but the men's, because I don't go that way, the men's, yeah, there's like 50 stalls easily. Yeah. And each stall is even the urinals, it's like your own little room. Privacy. I mean, these things are, they're awesome. And they're always jam-packed full of people. Yeah. But they will start, like where we live, not far from where we live on the interstate, there is a sign for the next Buc-ee's, 153 miles. Sometimes they'll have those and under it it'll say, you can hold it. No, I will guarantee you if I have to go, I cannot hold it 153 miles. Right? But the closer you get, what do you see? You see more signs. Only 75 miles to Buc-ee's. Only 20 miles to Buc-ee's. Buc-ee's exit 38. Right? You just missed Buc-ee's. They actually have signs after that. Turn around, go back. You've missed it. So, as you get closer, there are more signs. Right? So again, whether you're talking about Cumberland Farms, is that what you said? Or whatever it is. If you're on the highway, the closer you get to the destination, usually there's going to be more signs. Right? All right, so look at verse 25 again. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Again, assemble together more and more as you see the day approaching. Well, how do I know that the rapture is coming? It's approaching. The same way I know Buc-ee's is coming. The same way I know Cumberland Farms is coming. The same way I know McDonald's is coming. I see signs. I read signs. Are you here? I've never heard anybody say this after they passed the Buc-ee's. Well, I saw the signs, but I didn't believe it. I didn't believe them. Wow, there really is a Buc-ee's. Those signs were telling me the truth, that there is a Buc-ee's. The signs that the Bible gives us is telling us the truth. There is a rapture coming. Yet there are people going to say, but I don't believe that. Oh, I've heard of that Buc-ee's. That can't be that good. We just had a week or so ago, we were heading to Nashville with our grandson. He wanted to go there for something for his birthday, and he had his girlfriend with him. She had never been to a Buc-ee's. And so we purposely stopped so she could experience Buc-ee's. And she was amazed. She could have stayed for hours in Buc-ee's. See, if you've never been, you don't understand. You can buy clothes in Buc-ee's. You can buy like lawn chairs and stuff like that in Buc-ee's. You can buy all kinds of food. Barbecue, pulled pork, sandwiches. You can buy, this place is amazing. And I usually don't stop in them because they're too crowded. And it's just, do it once. I've been to Buc-ee's. Great, I'm done. Let's move on. Amen? Yeah. But I've never seen anybody say, well, I didn't believe those signs. Oh, I saw them. I just dismissed them. I couldn't believe that was real. It's real. How many of you know Buc-ee's pays a lot of money for those signs? You know, I know most like major billboards on a interstate, they're thousands of dollars a month. Well, I mean, they've got tons of them. They're paying thousands of dollars a month to put those signs up. Amen. God the Father, Jesus the Son, the apostles, and everybody that's lived since them all has paid a great price to make sure the signs that we're in the last days to let us know the rapture's coming, they've paid the price for those signs to be there. And we need to accept them and say, yeah, he is coming. And it could be today. It could be before we're finished here this morning. Amen. And again, I don't say that to scare you. I say that to comfort you. I don't know about you. Not that I'm looking for an escape. See, I don't think the rapture is meant for us to be an escape. The rapture is a blessing, and we should be trying to get as many people to go with us as we possibly can. Amen. But isn't it good to know, as bad as this world is, and it is going to get worse, God has a plan to get us out of here before it gets completely worse. Amen. And it's like I said, I'm not setting dates at all because I don't have a date. You know, I'm not like the guy, you know, how many remember back in 1988, the guy that wrote the book, 88 Reasons Jesus is Coming in 1988. He sold a lot of that book. I remember when it happened. 1989, he wrote another book. 89 Reasons Why Jesus Will Come in 1989. You know what number 89 was? Because he didn't come in 88. He didn't sell very many of those books. See, he was setting dates. We don't set dates. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, well, let's look at some of the signs really quick. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. Come on, I'm going to get you out of here. Thank you, ma'am. That's all I needed right there. One lady on the front row said, keep going. Rest of you, sorry. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew 24. Jesus is asked, what is the sign of your coming? Oh, wait a minute. As we see the day approaching, and Jesus here is asked, what's the sign of your coming? What do we look for? How do we know when you're coming? Amen? Start in verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Say, deceive.
Deceive.
For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Say, deceive.
Deceive.
You'll hear of wars, rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets, say false, false prophets shall rise and shall, say it, deceive many. So in these few verses, Jesus is asked, what's the sign of your coming? And yes, he says wars, rumors of wars, pestilence, earthquakes, all of that. Okay, we understand. But he said all that one time. But just in those few verses, three times he said deceive. Do not be deceived, do not be deceived, do not be deceived. Right? Amen. And of course, if you go on over, you know, in verse 24, for there shall arise false Christs, false prophets shall show great signs and wonders insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Again, do not be deceived. The number one sign that the rapture is about to happen is people being deceived. And there's more people being deceived today than's ever been deceived in the history of the church. Amen. Again, the Bible, he goes on to say down in verse 37 that it would be like the days of Noah. Well, we're living in the days that are the days of Noah. What were the days of Noah? They're eating, they're drinking, they're doing all this stuff, right? Yeah, and that's what people are doing today. They're doing all this stuff, and they're not even thinking about God. I mean, you got people that go to church. The only time they think about God is when they're in the church building. And they leave church and they don't think about him again till next Sunday. And if we can make it back to church, we'll think about God again. Amen? So we're seeing the same thing. But not only that, something Jesus didn't mention, but in Genesis chapter 6, verse 11, talking about the days of Noah, it said the earth was corrupt and filled with violence. Anybody think that's the world we're living in today? Corrupt and filled with violence? Yeah, very much so. Amen? All right. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Come on, only got about 20 more of these and we'll be good. I'm teasing. 1 Timothy chapter 4. See, I can say that at home and they all know. Yeah, yeah, right, Pastor. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly. In other words, the Spirit of God is making a point. That in the latter times, say, we're there. Some shall depart from the faith. Well, again, you can't depart from something you've never been to or been in, right? Giving heed or paying attention to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. What's a seducing spirit? Oh, that John Kaminsky thinks you ought to be in church every time the doors are open. You don't have to be in church every time the doors are open. You can go over to that church over there, and they don't really care if you come or not. So that's a seducing spirit. Amen? And then once you get to that other place that don't care whether you come or not, then you're going to start getting the doctrines of devils. Amen? But again, why are they going to depart? They're deceived. They're deceived, amen? All right, 2 Thessalonians, just flip back to your left a couple of pages. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, start in verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There in your margin, just write the word rapture. The coming of our Lord Jesus Christ means the rapture. And by our gathering together unto Him, the rapture, right? That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. 2,000 years ago they're saying, he's coming, it's almost here. But see, then you say, well, it's been 2,000 years. God's eye, 2 days. 1,000 years is a day, day is 1,000 years, right? Yeah, God's in no rush. This is not a doctrine, this is just a thought I've had. How many know God knows the end from the beginning? God knows everything about everybody. God knows who's going to get born again, who's not going to get born again. Now, He wants everybody to be born again, but He knows who will and who won't. So He knows who's going to be the last one to get born again before the rapture happens. And you know when Jesus is going to come, Brother Angel? When that last one gets born again. And God's going to look at Jesus and go, now. Amen? But see, I see Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father. He's not sitting back with His legs crossed like we just resting. I believe Jesus is on the edge of His seat looking at the Father like, now, now, now. No, son, hold on, hold on. He just wants to come get us. What do you mean He wants to come get us? Just they at the hotel, they had a wedding there yesterday. The groom just wants to get the bride. Amen? I don't know what time the wedding was, 4 o'clock. Well, I'll guarantee all day, is it 4 o'clock yet? Is it 4 o'clock yet? 4 o'clock yet? Right? That's Jesus. What? He's the groom coming for His bride. Can I go? Can I go? Can I go? Not yet, son. Hold on. Almost. Amen? Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Again, you could use these verses to let us know tribulation won't happen till after the rapture, because until the church is taken out of the way, the Antichrist cannot be revealed. We're the one, according down to verse 7, he that letteth is taken out of the way. We're the ones that restrains the Antichrist from taking power, the church. But once we're gone, then He's able to do what He wants to do. Can you say amen? Amen. Notice again what it says there. People will be deceived and they will depart. Depart from the faith. Amen. I know my time's running short. Sometime go over and read Acts chapter 27. Don't turn there now. Acts 27, Paul and all of them, they're in the boat. They're in the storm. They've been in the great storm. The angel of the Lord comes and says, you know, you're all going to make it. Paul says, I believe God. But some of the sailors didn't believe. And they went up and they acted like they were throwing anchors out, but what they were doing was dropping a boat off the side, and they were going to try to escape in that boat. You remember what Paul said to them? Unless you stay in the ship, you can't be saved. The church is the ship. Unless you stay in the church, you're going to get in trouble. Amen? You're going to get in trouble unless you stay in the ship. Amen. The ship, again, equals to me the church. Amen. And the devil's working hard and doing everything he can to get people out of the church. Don't fall for that mess. Amen. He wants to destroy our lives. He wants to destroy the church. Why? Because the Bible tells me in the book of Ephesians that Christ gave his life for the church. The church means something to Jesus. And that's why the devil fights it so hard. Amen. You know, the devil really doesn't care if you die. He would rather you turn from God. Why is that? Okay, I'll just use Brother Angel here. I know he's never going to turn from God. But see, in my church, it's Brother Steve that sits there, and he gets picked on all the time. So, hi, Brother Steve. Praise God. God bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. The devil doesn't care if you die. Because if you die, you're gone. You're out of the way. What he would rather you do is turn from God. Because if you'll turn from God, then the devil can parade you all around going, look at this one. God couldn't keep him. Big time God couldn't keep him. He just turned and ran away. That's what the devil wants. Don't give him the satisfaction. Don't give him the satisfaction. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy, back to 2 Timothy. Chapter 3. Come on, hurry. I got to hurry. I'm sorry, Pastor. You'll never have me back. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Say, we're there. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Any of that going on? Yes, absolutely. Without natural affection, absolutely. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. I'm sure it's in this area. In our area, I can take you to multiple churches. They have multiple services a week and thousands of people in every service, and they couldn't get healed if their life depended on it. So they're not taught how to do that. I'm not putting them down. I've talked to people that have talked to me wanting to get healed and find out how to get healed. And I've asked them, well, our church doesn't teach that. Well, do they pray for people? Well, no, not, you know, no. Okay, then why are you there? You have realized you can't get what you need there. So why are you there? Amen? And then, of course, look at verse 13 there. Same chapter. But evil men, seducers, shall grow worse and worse. Yes. Is that happening? Yes. Just when you think you've heard the worst, tomorrow you hear something worse. Yeah. Right? It's just getting worse and worse. Again, these are signs we're looking for as we see the day approaching. Right. These are the signs we're seeing. Amen. 2 Timothy 4, you're there. Verse 2, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Amplified says, whether they like it or not. Preach the word. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. The Amplified also says, tell them where their lives are wrong. Yes. Not me personally say, Angel, now you're wrong. No, I just preach the word. Right. The word tells you where you're wrong. Yeah. I don't have to become judge and jury. No. All I do is preach what God tells me to preach. And people walk out the door going, ouch, oh, Pastor, oh, man, you really hit me where it hurts. I didn't. The word did. Because there's times I'll preach and going, that was a dud, and they're going, exactly what I needed to hear. Oh, okay, good, great, hallelujah. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Oh, that's harsh, that's hard. Oh, I'm not going back to that church. He's mean. He's a hater. No, the Bible says if I don't correct you, I hate you. Bible says that a parent that loves his child corrects him. And the Word of God, 2 Timothy 3:16 says that the Word of God is good for correction. Yes. Amen? Yes. They'll not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I want to hear the preacher that tells me what I want to hear, not what I need to hear. Right. And they'll turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So they'll be deceived and they'll turn to fables, false doctrine, heresy. Amen. I like Pastor Barclay explained a fable this way. A fable is like a sandwich. The meat is the truth, but the two pieces of bread are the lies. So you've got truth surrounded by lies, which makes the whole thing a lie. Even though the Bible, the words, of course, is true, but the context and how they use it and whatever is totally false. And it's not going to change anything. Amen?
Amen.
So after hearing, could we say seeing, all these scriptures, all these signs, how many think the day is approaching?
Yes.
Amen? So can you real quick just turn back to Hebrews 10 again, and we'll read this, and then we're going to get ready to stop. Hebrews 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I think the Amplified uses the word neglect. Do not neglect the assembling of ourselves together. But as the manner of some is. In other words, some people don't go to church anymore. But exhorting one another. See, I just don't come to get, hear the word and preach and praise and worship God. I come to exhort one another. Let's build one another up. Amen. And so much the more, not less, more, as you see the day approaching. And this was written by people that went to church every day.
Wow.
Book of Acts says every day they gathered together. Right? So, well, I go 3 times a week. That's great. In this world, that's awesome.
It is.
But more would still mean more.
Yeah.
Are you listening? Yeah. So could we say we need more assembling together? We see the day approaching, right? Amen. Could we say we need more church? Could we say we need more word? Could we say we need more faith? Could we say we need more Jesus? Amen. Why? So we can be ready. So we can make it through these last days without falling or walking away from Jesus. Again, Jesus is coming for those who remain. He's coming for those that endure to the end. Amen? He's coming for those that are ready. Amen? What's it mean to be ready? Now, what I'm about to tell you, I'm not going to tell you if you look it up in a dictionary, it's going to give you these definitions. But this is something the Lord said to me here a couple years ago. Because people, well, I'm ready for the rapture. I'm ready for the rapture. He goes, ready. And again, like I said, if you look it up in a dictionary, I'm not going to tell you it's the way it is, but this is what he said to me. Thank you, ma'am. He said, ready has two meanings. That you have a desire or that you're prepared. Huh? Say you just come back from a vacation. First day at work is terrible, hard. And you say, boy, am I ready for a vacation. What's that mean? I desire a vacation. But you have no reservations. You have no tickets. You have no bags packed. So you're not prepared. You have a desire. Right? But what happens, you know, some time goes by and now you do have the tickets. You do have the hotel reservations. You do have the bags packed. Now you say, now I'm ready for vacation. What's that mean? I'm prepared. So, to say, I'm ready for the rapture, does that just mean you want the rapture? Or does it mean you're ready for the rapture? You're prepared for the rapture. Because, see, the signs are there, just like the signs tell us when Bucky's is coming. The signs tell us that Jesus is coming. And again, I don't have to rely on the sign company. Jesus himself told me, this is what you look for. These are the signs. And when you see these signs, know I am coming. Amen. Stand up. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Could you bow your heads with me, please? Glory to God. And I always like to do this. I understand Sunday morning, but maybe there's some people here you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. I never do a service without throwing the net. Every head bowed.
Thanks for joining us at Higher Ground Ministries. We pray today's message encouraged your heart and helped you grow in your walk with the Lord. Want to worship with us in person? Our services are Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Learn more at hgministries.org and be sure to share this message with someone who needs encouragement today. Until next time, keep your eyes on Jesus and keep climbing higher.